Sports Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Hold on, hold on.
What?
Our day is not over just yet.
Woohoo! USA! USA!
We have an action-packed hour for you 6 p.m. drivers.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Matt Scraby wraps up a full day of live and local sports talk.
And that is the whole problem with aliens. You just can't trust them. Occasionally you meet a nice one, but usually they turn out to be some kind of big lizard.
The Scraby Show starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello and welcome into The Scraby Show for February 5th, 2025. I'm about to rant about Jimmy Butler here in just a second. We got Frank Marchese in studio with me. Also, Sam Levitt off to the side doing his thing. He'll probably pop in here every once in a while. I'm going to start like this, guys. I'm sorry, but the Beaver Nuggets did not make it to my house in time. So I have two packages of Beaver Nuggies heading to my house. It's going to be here on Saturday or Sunday, according to the tracking. So when I go out to spring training, I'm going to bring a bag of Beaver Nuggies for Mr. Sam Lovett because he loves them so much. I know Frank's very disappointed about this.
I'm honestly, I worked myself into a shoot last week. I'm actually very happy you don't have those here.
I ordered them and they were cheap. Oh, and so we're going to do them next week. Sam will be out of town. That's why I'm bringing them out to spring training for him. Hello to everyone who is on the chat right now. If you want to watch on YouTube, you can just go search 97.3 The Fan. Also Facebook, also Twitch, also my Twitter at Matt Scraby. And yes, that's about it there. So let's start with this Jimmy Butler thing. I grew up in the Bay Area. I grew up a Warriors fan. My team was terrible growing up. They were perennially. They were bad throughout my childhood. So I don't really like claim the Warriors, and I can't really claim the titles. But I will say if there's one team that I do cheer for, it is the Warriors. I like Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler's a great player. I think Jimmy Butler is a great fit for the Warriors. I do not like how the NBA allowed his temper tantrum to get him a two-year, $121 million deal. I wish, because, you know, I know that we don't live in the, or we don't work in the professional ranks like these NBA players, NFL players, Major League Baseball players, but in any other walk of life, if you do this, you are gone. They're not even going to think about you for 1 second. I'm just shocked that in the end, Jimmy Butler is going to get what he wants, and he's going to be moving far, far away from Pat Riley. And I hate that he's getting what he wants, because this is a bad precedent. Both Michael Flicks and Tony didn't like the way he handled things. He just didn't show up to work for weeks. I don't know what the Warriors are doing here. I mean, I do know what the Warriors are doing. They're trying to win. But it just doesn't sit right with me. It's not a good look, in my opinion, give that guy a two-year, $121 million extension after just crying about making millions of dollars for the last month or so.
And this is the same league that this happens in all the time. Players, you never see baseball players just sit out until they get traded. You never see NFL players sit out until they get traded. You never see hockey players sit out until they get traded and then get the reward at the back end of it. This is the same thing that happens with the NBA all the time. The star player doesn't want to play for you anymore, so they just stop. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. The list goes on. It happens all the time in this league, and they want to do nothing to stop it.
That's, you know, I like the NBA. It's entertaining. I have it on in the background all the time in here because the guys want to watch it, and it's all good. It's just like the way that the players handle themselves is such a turnoff for me. I don't like it. Like, you're playing a game for a living, and you're making lots and lots and lots of money. I didn't plan on coming here and ranting about Jimmy Butler, but it was like when Mike Trout got his big extension. I was like, what is that guy? Why is that guy worth $400 million? Why is Juan Soto worth $750 million.
He's not.
Exactly. Juan Soto, now we're turning into a Juan Soto trashing segment, but Juan Soto was a guy who has questionable interactions with his teammates. Some people may say he's late to the bus all the time. Some people may say that he didn't show up to FanFest. Those are bad behaviors that are being rewarded. Now, those are really small bad behaviors, very small. But Jimmy Butler literally didn't do anything for about a month. And he was here in San Diego, going to San Diego State games and wearing wave hats. And Jacob says, it's how much a world championship is worth. Really?
No, that's not... That shouldn't be the defining factor in every single gigantic money move. Of course, the end goal is to win, but if you're going to bring in a guy who just threw a month and a half long temper tantrum and then pay him $200 million, that can't be good. It can't be good because he did it to somebody else. What's to stop him from doing it to you when he gets sick and tired of playing there?
Very, very true, but... I'm just reading in the quick reading I did before we started the show. They're thinking that this is his goodbye contract, basically, because he's 35 years old. He's probably not going to get another big old contract like this again. And it's good for the NBA that all of this is happening. Luka being traded, De'Aaron Fox being traded. I think it is. I think it is because we're talking about it because it's exciting. And we're talking about it because... this is the time of year where there's not really much happening. Of course, the Super Bowl is coming up, but there's 2 weeks of lead up to the Super Bowl. I can't take any more coverage of the Super
After
Bowl.
After a year's worth of lead up to the NFL, so it's about done with it already, to be honest.
Yeah. Karen says no one is worth that kind of cash. I agree with that. Dan says it's easier to find someone to talk on the radio than it is to find an athlete that only they can do. They are the top percent in the world.
That's how I have a job.
I can't disagree with that. I just am not... I can't disagree with that sentiment because, you know, pro athletes are the best of the best of the best of the best. But it still doesn't mean you can act like a child.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. Jimmy Butler is a Warrior. He is going to be making $121 million over the next 2 years. And that saga is now over. I had read that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry were kind of worried about bringing him into the locker room, but...
Couldn't imagine why.
Yeah, but he's happy now. He got what he wanted, so okay. He can't be complaining anymore.
James Harden was happy when he got traded to Brooklyn and then to Philadelphia and then to Houston, and you saw how all of that turned out.
Yeah, James Harden's a different story, and I've had my time with James Harden on the airwaves before. All right, let's go to... baseball and this Pat Hoberg thing, because we've talked about it a couple times and I want to bring it back up because I want your opinion, Frank. Because Tony does not think it's weird at all, and I cannot figure out why he doesn't think it's weird that someone would give a friend their betting info or their account info for their betting site. I think it's extremely weird. I think it's extremely shady that you're letting someone else log in and bet on baseball and all these other things. Like, Hoberg is... I think there's a bigger story behind this. He deleted a bunch of messaging that MLB could find and get him in trouble with, but he's fired from Major League Baseball now. He's going to have this on his record for the rest of his life. This is a bigger deal than I think we're making it right now.
I want to say, before we really dive into this, that there has been no evidence that has shown that he has bet on games that he umpired in. So it's not the Donahue situation. It's Donnelly or what?
Phil Donahue?
Donna something.
Yes.
The NBA.
Donahue.
Ref. Donahue. There it is. So it's not that situation. It is a little weird to have somebody else bet on your behalf, whether it's in games that you're umpiring or not.
It's not even on their behalf. It's like, hey, hey Frank, here's my FanDuel account. Go ahead. Just do it. Just go bet.
No.
I wouldn't ever do that.
It's still that's technically still on your behalf because it's your name on the bet. So that's not It's not a good look.
It's not.
And that's something that these sports have tried to stay away from until they realized that they could make money off of it. And now every league is Kings or FanDuel or whatever.
They totally are. And AJ Pierzynski, we played the clip earlier on the show. AJ Pierzynski said something pretty smart. Like, the guy that he was allowing to use his account could easily see a game, be like, hey, Pat, how is ex-umpire Angel Hernandez?
It's almost insider trading at that point.
Exactly, and this is kind of what Tim Donaghy did. There's a documentary on Netflix, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's about Tim Donaghy, and it was kind of like that. Like, he knew the tendencies of different referees. He knew when guys were going to call certain things. He knew how to anger a referee into giving a technical type of stuff. So if the friend calls up Pat Hoberg and says, hey, what do you know about Angel Hernandez? And he says, you know what? He likes to...
He ain't good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not good, but he likes to do this. And he... Or his strike zone's pretty big, so he's going to, you know, probably have more walks. That's insider information. And that is the problem. Huge problem. Even if it's not the game that Hoberg is actually umpiring, it's still a major issue.
And the worst part is he was such a good umpire. I mean,
he had 100% score in the World Series a couple years ago.
I mean, he was so good. It's not like Angel Hernandez got popped for this. It's not like a couple of other bad umpires.
Who are we thinking?
All names.
Joe West.
Joe West did this. It was a good one. He was one of the good ones.
I know.
And he's gone now.
I think someone said on the chat last night, why couldn't this be Doug Eddings?
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, Doug Eddings is, you know, not a great umpire, in my opinion. But it happens to the best one. But Major League Baseball did act quick, and they fired him. And I think he deserves to be fired.
It's
and
the only thing you can do.
I don't know what this guy's going to do with the rest of his life. Honestly, he's 38 years old. He's a year younger than me. His career's gone.
All
because of what he did.
Yeah,
but.
All to bet on a game or have a friend bet on a game with his name.
He says it wasn't like the friend betting on his behalf. It was just he was just letting his friend
it's
use the account.
Still your name on the ticket. It doesn't matter. It's your name on the ticket.
Right. You're right. And if someone wins on my name,
I want the money.
I want the money.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. That is...
It's your own account, then.
I keep wanting to call the umpire Fred Hoiberg. That is not his name.
It's close,
Pat
though.
Hoberg. Fred Hoiberg was like a coach for the Bulls back in the day. It's kind of ridiculous that I think that. All right. When we get back, I can't tell... you know what? We're going to do this. One sports talk show host out there is thinking about running for president. We'll tell you who on the other side of this Graby Show, 97.3 The Fan. All right. I've calmed down from my Jimmy Butler rage, and now I'm going to rage about someone else. And I like this person. I do. I think that they're a great entertainer. I think that what they have to say sometimes is really smart. But the person that is going to be running for president, or at least thinking about running for president, that is a sports talk show host, Stephen A. Smith, has decided he might run for president. And I didn't know this, but there was some sort of poll put out, a Democratic candidate poll, and Stephen A. Smith got 2% of that poll. For 2028, which I find incredibly crazy. I know that we have a president that, you know, doesn't have a political background. He has been president before, so there is some sort of experience there. Stephen A. Smith has no political background that I know of. And he said he'll doubt he ever runs, but if someone asks him, he's going to think about it. And this is, to me, when you jump the shark a little bit, when you think that you're a lot bigger and better and smarter than you might be. Stephen A. Smith is a very good sports talk host, and he talks about a lot of stuff. Like, he's on CNN, and he does a really good job. But I don't know that he is qualified to be president, Frank. I just don't think so.
I'm going to say this. I like my job. I want to keep it. So I'm going to bow out of this conversation before I say anything stupid.
Okay. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to say that you don't want Stephen A. Smith to run for president.
He got 2% of the votes because of it was a meme vote, and people knew it. So they just said, yeah, it's a joke. So, yeah, I'll vote for Stephen A. Smith. But beyond that, I'll bow out of this conversation.
Okay. You've just made it extremely weird, but we'll move forward. I mean, The Rock wanted to run for president. Not into The Rock running for president.
No.
We won't be choosing a new president for the next 4 years, so we don't have to worry about this. But Stephen A. Smith, he likes all the headlines, and I don't mind that. But he does say, if he's asked, he could run for president. And yes, I'm seeing that he has experience with political talk and all that, and I have heard that, and I think that he's not bad in that realm. Doesn't make you a president. Does not make you a president.
No. No, it does not.
Frank.
Yes.
Do you remember the guys, the Yankees dudes that tried to rip Mookie Betts' arm off?
The two that got banned from Major League Baseball? Yes.
Austin Capobianco. Now, we talked about this during Gwen and Chris, but Capobianco. I call him Copacabana because it's easier to say.
Might as well.
But I don't know if you saw this, Frank. He's 38 years old, and last year in Game 4 of the World Series, as everybody knows, there was a foul ball. Mookie went to the fence to try and catch it. These two dudes grabbed the glove and grabbed his arm and tried to wrestle the ball away. Well, his life has been terrible ever since.
Oh, really?
Terrible.
Oh, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
He basically wants to just have people forget about him forever.
Well, then you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Yes. He, Copacabana, Austin Copacabana, he is continuing to get voicemails from people. He's continuing to get packages sent to his parents' house that contain feces. Dodgers fans aren't messing around with this guy. And he says that he realizes that he may have made a mistake.
Oh, really?
And he wants another chance. He wants to. He says he's going to be very sad when he can't go to the baseball games anymore.
Should have thought about that when you went and did what you did. No,
I think what we need to pay attention to when people do these things is how they react immediately afterward. And you know what he did immediately afterward?
He got propped up by national sports media and got interviewed while sitting in a subway.
He did. And got a lot of people coming by and taking pictures with him because he's a Yankees legend, he says. Although he's never going to be at a baseball game again. And someone made a good point on the chat. Change your number. Change your phone number. People are calling him saying, I'm trying to get, have fun watching game 5 from home.
That don't stop people.
Bleep you, you piece of bleep. You've got karma coming to you.
That
watch
doesn't
your
stop people.
Back, bleep. You're a bleeping idiot and a joke, bleep. These are the type of things he's getting. And he's also getting all these different sort of packages being sent to him. Here's the other thing that I think is really funny about this whole thing. He says he gets a lot of pictures of men, if you know what I mean. So a lot of people send him pictures like that. He says, I don't want any more of those pictures anymore. I'm done with those pictures. Please stop sending me those pictures. But yeah, you can't grab Mookie Betts' arm and think you're going to get away with it.
I mean, all of the flack, and I've seen it in the chat here, all of the flack that came Steve Bartman's way, that was completely unnecessary. It was 100% unnecessary. He's a fan going for a foul ball with a player who was annoyed. Alou has even come out and said he was never going to catch that ball. Probably
Moises Alou probably shouldn't have reacted the way he did because that made everything worse.
I agree with that as well, but heat of the moment.
Didn't he throw his glove on the ground?
Yes, he did. Heat of the moment, though, you give him a little bit of slack. So and that was a big, big, big moment. Bartman was just a fan doing what fans do. This idiot reached over onto the field of play, reached into Mookie Betts' glove, and tried actively to rip the ball out of his glove.
Yep.
You earn none of my sympathy. You deserve everything that's coming to you, as long as it's not physical. We do not promote physical harm here. if you keep with the fecal matter packages and the pictures, that's fine. You earned it, but
don't send fecal matter packages.
I'm not giving out his address, am I?
No.
Do whatever you want. Just make sure it's not physical. You've earned every bit of it. Stop crying. You reap what you sow.
I agree. But this reporter for The Athletic in the comments is defending his article because people are like, why are you giving this guy attention?
Exactly.
And he said, this guy deserves to have his story told. And I'm like,
no.
His story is not. This is just a cautionary tale at this point as to what happens when you try to affect what's going on with the field.
And this is the second time that the national media has done this, too, with the Yankees. Remember the kid who took the Jeter home run away from Tony Tarasco?
Yes.
Bob Costas was down there in an inning to interview the kid. Stop giving morons credence. Please stop giving stupid people the time of day because it'll just make more people want to do it.
I don't understand why we do that. I don't understand why we reward bad behavior. It goes because back. Maybe this is the title of the show.
Because we like the train wreck.
That's why do we reward bad behavior? I try to act and do things in a way where I don't feel shame after I freak out. Like the time that I yelled at that lady on my dog walk. And I said, what the bleep do you think I'm doing? When she asked me, can you get your dogs under control? I felt really terrible after that. And I don't want to be rewarded for that. I learned from that.
Have you seen the one? It's a meme that's going around right now. This guy is in like a UFC practice. He's on the ground, backed up against the cage. And his coach is yelling at him in the corner, get up. You got to try to stand up. And he's like, the guy who's punching him, he's like, hold on, time out. Turns to his coach, is like, I'm trying to get up. I'm trying. That's what the dog walk story made me think of.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really frustrating having someone yell at me to get up when I'm trying to get up. Like, if I'm getting beat to the ground, like, it's hard to get up, sir. But no one rewarded me for my bad behavior.
No.
I didn't get a raise at work because I yelled at this lady. Other people get raises when they yell at people.
We love watching the car crash. We love watching the train wreck. That's the only thing I can think of.
I know. I want to go down as someone who lives their life like one that tries to make the right decisions all the time. I don't make the right decisions all the time.
Nobody ever will.
But I try to be a good person. Sometimes it gets away from me. I would never grab a player's arm.
No.
When they're trying to catch a foul ball. It just wouldn't happen.
No.
I'm such a great guy that when 2 years ago when the Padres were playing the Mets, J.D. Davis came over and was going to make a catch, and I was right there.
Move out of the way.
And he came and fell into me, and I saved him.
Yeah.
I saved him because he was like this going back, and I saved him.
Appreciate you doing that for a fellow
Metropolitan. Still didn't get rewarded for that. Still didn't get rewarded for that. It's just ridiculous.
No good deed goes unpunished. That's why that goes.
Kobayashi says, can't imagine the type of person who takes something in a box and then confidently takes it to a post office because of this. I really want to know that, too.
You do have to be in a special head place in order to do something like that.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, you have to collect it on your own. I would just send Lucky fecal matter.
I think we should steer away from this topic any further before we go too far down this road as well.
Good point.
Probably a good idea.
You know, Emma Keyes says something very smart. Karma has your back, Scraby. And it does.
Attaboy.
I think. I hope. I did a lot of questionable things as a drinker. So I built up some bad karma points. But 8 years later, I'm making it through. Making it back on the other side of the karma point train. Okay.
Karma hasn't shown up for me yet, just saying.
Because you're just such a great person. Just such a great person. And karma will never have to attack you, Frank.
Oh, thank you.
You know who else is a great person? You, Darvish.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, you know, last night or two nights ago, I was screaming about you, Darvish, needs an explanation from Roki Sasaki. You, Darvish, I don't think he's as mad as I am about this whole thing, and I'll explain when we get back on the Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. 97.3, just sharing stories from the past here in the break. My dating life is a mess.
See, now
it's nothing just, recent.
I'm sitting here laughing. You can see Sam in the. You can hear Sam in the background laughing. You're going to mention that, and now you're not going to tell the story. And I know why you're not going to.
I've told the story on the radio before.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Yeah, I went on a coffee date like 8 or 9 years ago. I was still a drinker, so I guess I wasn't the greatest candidate for relationship at the time. In fact, I probably shouldn't have even been out on this date. Anyway. We meet up at Starbucks, tell her that she's going to, I'll buy her drink. She orders the most expensive drink on the menu, the Frappuccino. But we sit down. That's not it. We sit down and she starts grabbing her stomach and going, oh, ah! Just like that. And I asked her, like, what is happening? She said, and I'm not laughing at her reasoning. It's just so me that this happens to me. But she said she recently got her stomach stapled and it was hurting her and she needed to use the bathroom. And so I just waited for 10 minutes while she was going to the bathroom. Needless to say, that relationship did not work out. But whew, it's bad. It's bad. All right. You, Darvish. I said a couple days ago that maybe you's going to want to apology from Ryoki Sasaki one day. And I know that was a crazy take of mine because Yu Darvish is a very nice human being. Yu Darvish is not going to be that guy, Frank. He's not going to be a guy who's going to shun Ryoki Sasaki. He has told the media, Jeff Sanders of the San Diego Union-Tribune interviewed Yu Darvish, and Yu Darvish says, we'll see how the season pans out for Ryoki. He may have some adversity that he needs to overcome, some hard times that he needs to overcome, and if he does reach out to me in those moments, obviously I will give him the support that I can give him. I think it's important to do that not only as a player, but as a human being. Yu Darvish taking the high road in this whole thing. It's probably the right thing to do, as much as I want Yu Darvish to be like, you're dead to me, Ryoki. He's not going to do that, though.
I mean, at the end of the day, what happened with that signing? A guy who had free choice made a free choice. And if you're going to get upset about it, I'm sorry, but it's the way it works sometimes. I don't think it's about the choice. Somebody's going to make a choice you're not happy with sometimes.
I don't think it's about the choice, because Manny Machado at FanFest came out right and just said, hey, I think he had his mind made up the entire time.
It's one guy, though. And so what if he did? You know, how many people sign and go on interviews knowing where they're going to go already?
I don't think people have done it this way, where they – because I was reading about – I find myself complaining about Ryoki Sasaki on a nightly basis somehow, and I don't really want to complain about Ryoki Sasaki on a nightly basis. But I was reading a Reds blog, and they were saying that the higher-ups with the Reds were asked about their pick. And apparently, even though Ryoki Sasaki said every team is in, they told the Reds, hey, it doesn't matter what you tell us in this meeting, we're not choosing you. And that's an issue. I hate that. Don't tell everybody out there that you have a chance if you don't actually have a chance.
And also, the other side of this, you have another chance at him. How long is this deal? It's not a long deal. It's not for a lot of money.
6 years.
He's going to get his big boy contract
and
eventually.
I think that's also why it bothers me a little bit, is because we were sold this whole thing of he's a cheat code. He's not going to cost a lot of money, but he's a phenom.
Did you hear some of the reports that have allegedly come out of Japan?
About what?
There is a possibility. I'm not sure. I've looked into it, but I'm not sure of the veracity of these claims. But part of the reason why he came here is because he was suggested to get Tommy John surgery.
Oh, yes. I actually talked about this last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a chance that he could blow out his arm this year just because of stuff that has happened with him.
No, I know.
So it's not necessarily a cheat code. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Anything can. I completely understand that. And I'm not so much mad that Ryoki chose the Dodgers. I'm mad at the charade that was put on.
That is a little, yes, that should be a little off-putting when everything that the agent said was just a bona fide lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Sam Levitt stood in front of him and took his statement and then immediately texted me and said, he's a liar. I don't believe anything he said. Sam just looked at me and that's not true. Sam did not text me that. It's not true. But we'll get over it.
I think I saw his heart stop over
there. his face looked up. Well, I'll be over it. Once baseball starts, that's all I care about is wanting the baseball to start.
And you're, what, a week away from it starting?
A week! Literally a week.
50 days away from opening day. 5-0.
That's not a lot of time.
No, it's not.
And I'm not going to worry about the roster right now. I'm not going to worry about the left field position. I'm not going to worry about another pitcher. Because it's going to happen. They're going to bring people in. Now, Harrison Bader got a job today in Minnesota. And I want to look and see if we have a number on that.
It was 2 years with an option in the middle.
Twins agreed to 1 year deal.
But there's an option.
I'm looking. Oh. I should have looked at this earlier. This is bad radio. I don't know how much money's involved in meaning, like, was he already outpriced for the Padres? Because Harrison Bader's been a name that we've talked about for a couple years now as a guy that they could bring in. He's a good outfielder. I mean, he's a veteran player. I don't think that he would be a bad addition to this team, but he's with the Twins now, and I'm wondering if he just was too expensive, because that seems how it's going for all players this year, expensive.
From MLB.com, Bader's deal, which is for 1 year and includes a mutual option for 26, is worth a guaranteed $6.25 million plus an extra $2 million in bonuses.
See, I don't get this. I feel like this is an easy sign. I mean, obviously, he has to want to go to the Padres, and he has to want to go to, you know, accept their offer. But $6.25 million for a veteran everyday outfielder does not seem like it's that big of a deal. It doesn't, to me.
Unless you're in our situation, which is you don't know what the money looks like. You don't know what the pocketbook looks like. If you don't have $6.25 million to spend, then you don't have $6.25 million to spend.
What are we doing then? If you can't, are we just looking now for players that are willing to play for $1 million?
Well, window shopping.
The one player I see out there that would probably play for a couple $1 million, I'm putting words in their mouth, Ty France. I think he's someone that you can bring into spring training and see if he can make the team. He's a first baseman. He's a DH. He's already been in the organization. He won't cost a lot of money. But Harrison Bader's a guy, I think, that they could have greatly benefited from. But we're going to have to see what they do. This whole time we've been talking about this, Frank, maybe they've just had a plan with what's going on in left field. They just don't want to let anyone know about it.
I mean, which that would mean, if that is the case, that would mean promoting from within.
Yeah, because Turso or Nellis?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not thinking that he should be the everyday left fielder when the season starts. I need to see it a little bit before that.
Yeah, that's what spring training is for.
That is what spring training is for. And what if he's not very good?
Then you got a problem.
Yeah. You got a problem for sure.
The good news is that the season starts on March 27th and not March 20th in Japan like it does for the Dodgers and Cubs.
Yeah, that is good, because that whole thing where you had to wake up at 3 in the morning to
go watch it wasn't fun.
Was not fun. It actually messed up my sleep schedule for like a week because I'm old.
And you just had to watch the game.
Yeah.
I had to be here to work it.
Oh, you were here, huh? And Sam was doing the pre and post game from like 2 a.m. That was a crazy time. I remember going to 7 Mile Casino, driving up at like 2:45 a.m. and not being able to find any parking whatsoever. Like, it was crazy. And everybody showed up, and I walk inside, and it's like you can't even move in there. So that is a testament to all of you out there. And while we're on that testament to all of you, Quinn and Chris, the 19th rated major market afternoon show, according to Barrett Sports Media.
Saw that. Congratulations,
thank
guys.
You. Congratulations, thank you. The number 19 keeps coming up for us because, obviously, Tony's dad. But it does feel good to be recognized. I am not someone who is comfortable with recognition. So that's why I let Tony and Chris take all of the glory, because they love the recognition and they love the attention.
It's fair.
Fair.
I mean, it's some people aren't into that.
By the way, did you see, Frank, that I was mentioned in a Sports Illustrated article?
I did not see that you were mentioned in a Sports Illustrated article.
Yeah,
I didn't get mine this week.
A listener sent it to me, and it was something that I said on the Scraby Show about Jerks and Profar, and so they quoted me and everything.
Oh, nice.
Although they credited Mar Scraby. M-A-R-R Scraby, which I think is hilarious. So my alter ego is now Mar.
You know what? To be fair, R is right next to the T on the keyboard. So it's not like somebody purposely misspelled it. It's not like your name was Map Scraby, where it's like all the way on the other side of the keyboard.
You know, I'm not really that upset about it at all. I think it's kind of funny, actually, because it's like something to remember by. But when I type articles, I usually go check the person's name.
Yeah, nobody reads anymore. It's fine.
Well, did you hear last week? Kristen believed that there was an article online before the newspaper.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe that.
We had a whole thing about it where, like, we were in the back and there was a Kevin Acey article that came out Monday online. And Chris comes in with his paper and he goes, "Hey, did you guys see this Kevin Acey article?" And I'm like, "Dude, this is the exact article we've been talking about." And he goes, "No, it's in the paper. That means it's real." And I'm like, "Chris, you do know that the online version is faster than the newspaper." But anyway, that was what we dealt with last week. I know I'm jumping all over the place. There hasn't been a lot to talk about in the last couple.
No, it's in the paper. It's real.
Yes. It hasn't been. We haven't had a lot to talk about in baseball-wise. I know we're getting closer to the season, but I'm going to just go all over the place. And I don't know if you know this, Frank, but the PGA Tour is having major problems with duration of play, time, length of players taking their shots. And so it's gotten to the point where Charlie Hoffman, our guy, comes on our show all the time, friend of Gwynn and Chris. He called out all the pros saying we need to be better. And I agree they need to be better, because sometimes they take a minute to take a shot and you don't need a minute. Like, there was one over the weekend, Tom Kim took a full minute on this shot, ended up hitting it out of bounds. And I think one of the commentators said, "Well, that was worth the wait," which is true. So the LPGA, which I pay attention to the LPGA and I watch the LPGA. I love the LPGA. I think their golf is just as good as men's golf. But the LPGA has come out with a solution for this whole slow play thing. And shot I think clock. The PGA Tour might need to look into it, because the penalties are going to be changing. So if you're plus, and now I've been trying to figure out, and I cannot figure out how many infractions you need before you're on the clock, per se. But the penalties are changing. So if you are 1 to 5 seconds over the time, you get a fine. If you're plus 6 to 15 seconds over, you get a one-stroke penalty. And if you're plus 16 seconds or more over your shot time, you get a two-stroke penalty. Now, if that's something that is going to happen on every single shot, I mean, this will get the pros to play a little bit faster. When you're starting to charge them, like, fine, some of these guys don't care. But
yeah,
when you're
so
starting
what's
to charge
the point
them
of a fine?
What?
Like, what's the point of a fine?
Well, I guess it's just before you charge them a stroke or before you change their actual golf score, they're going to fine you first just to kind of give you a little bit of a warning. But
so
I really
give
like
them a
this
warning.
By
just
the
give
LPGA.
Them one,
no, we've already done the warning thing. We've done it. It doesn't work. The warning does not work. And when they put a group on the clock, you have to speed up. But, like, some guys just don't speed up. Like, you don't need as much time as these guys are really taking. And so the LPGA has taken a hard line in the sand with this, and I am a fan of it, because I think the PGA Tour should adopt something like this. PGA Tour needs to figure out how to handle this. It just, no one wants to watch a guy stand over a ball and re-grip and re-grip and re-grip and re-grip and re-grip and then hit the ball out of bounds. No one wants it.
Yeah, no. I mean, most of the time, not to be offensive because I'm a fan of racing and I hear these cliches all the time, but I'm not all that big a fan of watching grass grow most of the time. So, yeah, it would help a casual fan like me if they did move it along a little bit, if they did play a little quicker.
Now, Chris said, when we were talking about this, he said, well, in golf, they go to different guys. You know, they have this shot, they have that shot, they have that shot. But when it's a Sunday and they're coming down to the end,
yeah,
you don't really...
you don't have that filler.
No, you don't have the filler because you're only paying attention to the guys that are in contention. So, PGA Tour is aware. Charlie Hoffman is aware, and I like Charlie for saying something. But I like the LPGA for doing this, too. So
it's a great move. It's a great move, and usually, like, you gotta test it somewhere. Sorry, but you got to test it somewhere, and...
LPGA is it.
Yep. You said it, not me.
It's time.
I agreed with it.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
My daily gripe is when Sam Levitt stands over my shoulder waiting for me to get done with the show, everybody. Here he is. There he is. No, my daily gripe today is my sleepwalking.
You sleepwalk?
All the time.
I did not know this.
Oh, I've talked about this many times. I sleep eat, too. I have before eaten a soap sandwich. So here's what happened last night, and it threw me for a loop.
Uh-oh.
I woke up on the ground of my room, hugging my dog Lucky.
Aw, that's a cute one at least.
I don't know how I got on the ground to hug him.
Who cares?
But that's what it was. I was sleepwalking because my room was open. Sometimes I have like bread in my bed. Sometimes I wake up with hot dogs everywhere. I'm just kidding. I've never woken up with hot dogs. I wanted to see Frank's face. But, yeah, I'm telling everyone so I hopefully stop sleepwalking. And now that I have this Pixel watch, I've been tracking my sleep. And it's when I'm really tired that I sleepwalk the most. And that's my daily gripe.
So your daily gripe is you subconsciously showed extra love and affection to your dog.
It's
that's
more of the sleepwalking.
Gripe.
It's more of the how did I get from my bed to the floor? And why am I sleeping on the floor with Lucky?
I would personally consider it more of a gripe if it was how did I get from my bed to the local lake? That would be a problem.
Oh, well, you know what? One time I sleepwalk out of my room in a hotel, just had my boxers on, baby.
At least you had that.
I had to walk all the way down to the front desk at 1 a.m. and just my boxers.
At least you had that going for
you. You know what the guy at the front desk said?
Wake up.
May I see some ID, sir? And I said, I don't have any ID. He said, I know, I'm joking. All right. That's it for a very disjointed Scraby show, but I had a good time with it. Creeper Sam is in the back of my camera right now, and he will be taking over next. He's going to talk all about the Padres. So stick with us here on 97.3 The Fan.